Do you want to set your child up for success? Is tutoring out of your budget, or perhaps you're someone like me who just wants to save money on private tutoring? Is this a big school year for your child? You know, maybe they're starting kindergarten or middle school. Maybe there's another milestone coming up. Or maybe your family moved. Oh my gosh, I moved so much when I was growing up. And the kids are starting a new school. Or maybe your child is ahead and just not getting challenged enough in class. Well, IXL Learning is here to help. IXL Learning is a fun online learning program for kids covering math, language, arts, science, and social studies. It's powered by advanced algorithms. IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or the personality. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's right, it is school approved. So make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And How to Be Fine listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/fine. Visit IXL.com/fine to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Again, that's IXL.com/fine.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
The following podcast contains barnyard language and some adult content. So maybe use headphones if you're listening at work or around small children. Now here's the show.
Hey, Kristen.
Yeah, Jalenta.
When I say butterfly in the sky, what do you think of?
Oh my gosh, I think of Reading Rainbow, and I think of the greatest bedtime reader, daytime reader, childhood reader, adult reader of all time, LeVar Burton.
Well, we're going to talk to him today for a bonus episode all about the joy of books and the joy of LeVar.
Oh my gosh, I can hardly wait. I feel my heart going twice as high.
Just take a look.
It's in a book.
Reading Rainbow.
With Kristen Meinzer.
And Jalenta Greenberg.
And this is By the Book with LeVar Burton. LeVar Burton.
Hi.
Oh my gosh.
It's him.
Yay. Hi. LeVar Burton, it's so great to hear your beautiful voice.
It's great to be with y'all.
LeVar, may I call you LeVar?
Of course.
Okay.
LeVar, you cannot see this right now since you're not in the same studio as us, but Jalenta,
I'm like freaking
her eyes
out.
Are the size of saucers right
I've
now.
I've never been this nervous during an interview. I'm freaking out. I mean, you were like, because of you, I understood what acting was. Because I was like, I know that guy because he tells me what to read and I know him as a person. And then, oh my God, he's also that other guy on the other show I watch all the time, totally not himself. It blew my mind. And then I went to acting school and you changed my life forever. So thank you.
I love that. I love that story, Jalenta. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So I'm done nerding out and now we can actually talk about books.
Thanks, God.
I'm so sorry. I'm sure you have to deal with that constantly.
All right. Well, let's get to some book questions then.
All right.
So, LeVar, what is the first book you really remember reading that stuck with you, that you loved, that maybe you read over and over again, that you have just vivid, happy memories about?
I like to cite Captain's Courageous by Rudyard Kipling as the book that I read when I got what reading was about.
Mm. Mm. How old were you when you read that?
Third, fourth grade.
Yeah.
And so what I mean by that is that when I finished that book, I got depressed. I didn't know it was depression, at the age of nine. but this profound sadness fell over me because I had become so attached to being in that world. And when it was over, when the story was done, it was like, what do I do now? I suppose I could have started all over at the beginning, but the sense of not knowing what comes next wouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
So, and it's been an ongoing problem. for in my life. And whenever I'm reading really, really good fiction, I slow down towards the end of the novel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. Absolutely. You have to.
The last chapter, I want to savor because I know I'm going to finish soon. And then here comes the depression.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That even happens to me sometimes when I'm reading nonfiction, like Michelle Obama's memoir, Becoming.
Okay, yeah.
Toward the end of it, I just was like, I'll read one page a day because I don't want to reach the end of it because I feel so attached to everybody in the book and I don't want to say goodbye to them.
Do you recommend rereading books that really affected you? Because I'm always afraid, even when I just revisit a movie or, you know, show my husband something that I loved and it doesn't hold up, I like freak out and question everything about what it meant to me at the time.
I think it's always a good barometer of where we are, of the difference that we are, the different person that we are on a more current interpretation, because that's all it is. I mean, when we read, we are interpreting through the lens of ourselves what the writer is intending to say.
Yeah.
And it is obviously, our combined world experience that is a large part of that lens. So it makes sense that, you know, reading it reading anything at different times in our lives, we will get different meaning from it.
Yeah. But, I mean, as far as getting meaning, a lot of getting meaning from books is seeing ourselves in the stories. And one thing Jolenta and I are really curious about is when you first remember seeing somebody in a book or learning about them and feeling like, this is somebody who represents me. I see myself in this character. Do you remember when that happened to you the first time?
You have to understand that there are politics involved in my answering that question.
Oh, totally.
Because as a Black male, I didn't grow up seeing people who looked like me necessarily in the pages of books that I read. And I read a lot of books.
Oh, I know that feeling as an Asian American woman. I definitely know that. Yeah.
So the powerful nature of the human experience is that we can create empathy with the other so long as we can recognize something of ourselves in that otherness.
Yeah.
So, and I know that happened with Fun with Dick and Jane. Right?
Yeah.
They didn't look anything like me, but neither did Spot. And I related to Spot too. I related to Dick.
Doesn't?
I related to Jane. I related to Spot the dog, right? And so I believe that the real answer to your question is that it happened very early on for me, reading with empathy.
Mm.
It happened from the very beginning.
Yeah. Well, you're a very empathetic person.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I got to say, on your website, you say that you've dedicated your life to storytelling through acting, directing, books, and so on. But I mean, so much of what's central to every story you tell is this empathy you're talking about.
Yeah,
it's about world peace. It's about self-acceptance. It's about making sure that stories are told about people that aren't always, you know, acknowledged.
Don't always have voiced.
Yeah. And finding those universal commonalities between us all.
Yeah, whether it's about depicting a character of a certain race or class or disability, but there's that empathy in there. So I'm wondering, do you really see yourself as storyteller first, or do you see yourself as empathetic person first who just happens to use storytelling as your main medium?
Ooh.
Wow. No one is ever.
Yo, Kristen.
Ask me that question.
What? Before. No one's asked you that?
No.
Well, I'm asking it now.
I mean, because I would think, like, looking at your career, I would say, like, social justice activist who uses hosting, acting, podcasting, and whatnot to spread the word. But I also studied social justice in school, so that is a bias I have.
Right? Well, my knee-jerk reaction would have been, I'm a storyteller. That's not just what I do, it's who I am. Mm-hmm. And that is true about me. I mean, I see that as true about myself. However, I do believe that there is at least a kernel of truth in what you said about being a humanist first. And that's how I interpret the empathy that,
totally.
That you perceive in me. It's a worldview. It's a spiritual view.
Yeah.
That guides and directs and informs everything I do as a storyteller. Yeah, absolutely.
I was going to ask, are those choices intentional or is that just like where your career has led you?
I think it's a bit of both. I do. I mean, I'm not at the stage of my career. I'm not the guy that can do anything he wants, you know. But I have made good with those opportunities that have come my way.
Right. I have to ask, just while we're on the topic of, like, the work choices you've made, because basically you, like, blew up the second you got on the scene with Roots, and then to your next gig being developing a show about reading for PBS.
My exposure to PBS as a host began with a show called Rebop. That was produced by WGBH in Boston. That's the way PBS works. I mean, they're individual fiefdoms that share a commonality, right?
Right.
And so I had hosted a PBS show called Rebop before Reading Rainbow. And so when they were getting ready to launch and they had their list of potential hosts, my name was on that list. And then they saw me, I went through New York on my way to Africa, and they saw me on an interview show and reached out. They found me. They tracked me down. They stalked me. They found me at my hotel at the Essex House on Central Park South and pitched me the idea. And so I was like, yeah, makes a lot of sense to me. Let's use the airwaves during the summer vacation to steer kids back in the direction of literature and the written word. So I literally landed back in New York a month or so later from Africa and went right to the set to shoot the first episode.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's insane. That's so cool.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, LeVar is going to tell us his favorite self-help book.
We're back with LeVar Burton, host of the podcast LeVar Burton Reads.
All right. I'm going to shift gears with you a little bit here, LeVar. Mm-hmm. Now, as you know, on Buy the Book, we live by self-help books. Every 2 weeks, mm-hmm. there's a new one. Yeah. We're wondering, do you ever read self-help books?
I do and have.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I feel like you would never need any help.
But look, I am the first to say that the person that I am would only be possible by the deep and committed work to mining the best that I can out of who I am and what my potential is. And I know that a lot of the information that I possess has come from sources outside of myself.
Oh, that's great. Do you have a favorite self-help book?
Yeah, so do you have, like, what are your go-tos? Are there some you recommend to people? Or
There are traditional self-help books, and then there are books that end up being that as an unintentional consequence.
Totally.
Right? So in the first category, I love The Road Less Traveled by M. Scott Peck, M.D. And I love this book. And maybe it was because of when I discovered the book that it had so much impact on me. But I was really struggling at the time with relationships with women. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do better. And I just wanted to do better. And that was the entry point, right? That was the area of my life that I felt really needed addressing more than any others. Of course, it was the whole person that needed addressing. But relationships with women was the entry point. Mm-hmm. And that book was really powerful for me in terms of getting me to accept responsibility for who I am and for what I do, for every action that I take, every word that I speak, and every thought that I think. I learned I need to be responsible for it. I need to own it. And that was my big takeaway from that book.
What about the non self-help specific ones that you were mentioning that have molded you, changed you?
The Carlos Castaneda series was hugely instrumental for blowing the lid off of my perceived worldview at the age of 17. So it ended up being a reading experience that completely changed how I saw and subsequently experienced the world.
What is that book about?
It's about a relationship between a man and his Yaqui Indian teacher, a shaman named Don Juan. And the experiences that this man has in the service of learning how to wield power in the world.
So more often than not on this show, when we're reading books about happiness, they suggest that doing good in the world is always like the surest path to feeling good. Do you find this to be true in your life? Considering you're cracking up, I feel like you might.
I do. I think the best way to fight depression or too much introspection is to get up and get out and do something for somebody else. If we can just decentralize our focus on ourselves, I think we'll be we'll be happier.
Yeah.
We do too much navel gazing in this culture.
I'm going to post that on Instagram later and get so many likes. Oh, no, I'm joking.
You know, we got to confess, we kind of knew what we thought your answer would be to that anyway. Yeah. I mean, just the way you live your life and the way you conduct yourself in the world, it just seemed like, of course, this is like what LeVar Burton does. Of course, he tries to do good in the world, and that's why he's such a happy person, right?
My mother is stressed. Just the simple elegance of being a good person. That was her biggest admonishment to us as children. Be a good person, right?
Yeah.
And you know what that is. You know what the right thing to do is. So do that thing. Just don't suck as a human being.
You make it sound so simple. So, I mean, to jump off of that, if you were to write a self-help book, what would it be about? Would it be called Don't Suck?
Suck as a human being, yeah. Because we have a choice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
We have a choice. And my experience has informed me that it takes just as much energy to be an asshole as it does to be kind.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally.
Yeah.
If not more.
I was going to say, it might
usually takes me way more.
Yeah.
It does, actually. And the cost is higher, because for every outrageous outburst of assholery, it depletes your energy.
Totally.
Yeah. And it depletes everyone else's energy around you.
And it depletes everyone else's energy, absolutely. Whereas the complete opposite is true when you're kind.
Totally.
And when you engage in being kind, it actively contributes to your sense of well-being.
Yeah. God, we could just listen to you talk all day about
nothing.
Just about like your outlook on the world.
Totally.
I mean, we really could listen to you talk all day about this, because just talking to you makes us feel like we can become better just by being around you. Switching gears here, though.
More books.
Back to books for a second. So,
okay.
On your show, LeVar Burton Reads, we love your podcast. We love it so much. Mm-hmm. You read a short story every episode. But let's say you could pick someone to read a story to you. Who would you choose to read to you? Who do you want to read you a bedtime story every week?
Living or dead?
Anyone.
Anyone.
Wow. I'd want to be read to by Alex Haley.
Oh, wow. I was going to make a bad pun about going back to your roots, but Jalenta's mad at me for doing
too
that. But,
too many puns.
But to me, I'm being genuine here. No, I'm not just speaking in a pun, but this is like the full circle of that.
Like very beautiful.
Weren't you just a kid back then? Weren't you?
I was.
You were I can't imagine.
You were just a kid.
I was 19 when I met Alex. And,
yeah.
Wow.
And he had such an impact on me in so many respects. Not the least of which is I consider him one of my storytelling mentors. And Alex is one of the few authors, and maybe because I knew him so intimately well and just spent so much time with him, but when I read Alex's work, like when I pick up a copy of the autobiography of Malcolm X, I can feel Alex in there. And when I read Roots, passages from Roots, I hear Alex's voice, because his syntax and his rhythm were really, really distinctive. And I miss the warmth and the comforting nature of hearing his voice live. Yeah, so that would be my choice, Alex Haley.
Wow.
That's such a beautiful answer.
It really is. It's beautiful.
So I was reading that you, when you were younger, were studying in the seminary. And I came up in theater, although I'm a comedian now. But I've noticed a big pattern of men leaving the seminary and becoming actors and storytellers. And I just sort of wanted to ask you about your take on that like journey and that sort of connection that I always see between people who are drawn to the sort of spiritual storytelling of religion and then translating that into performance careers.
Yeah. Well, the linkage is real and ancient. Story number one, storytelling is storytelling. I was a Catholic when I was in the seminary, and the Catholics are very well. The liturgy, the Mass, is a play. It's a play in three acts, and the theatrical nature of Catholicism is really, really clear. But when you go back to the origins, right, it was the priests and the shamans who had that contact with the other world. And that office was sort of transferred in part to storytellers, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that they have a common roots, the priesthood and actors. They have a common origin in terms of their function.
Right, right,
in
yeah.
society, right?
Bringing
the unknown into the space of knowingness for the community. Right?
Yeah, learning together, creating, you know, moral compasses together.
Exactly. Decisions that cultures make that define who they are communicated through the mysterious, right?
Mm-hmm.
As the mysterious is always communicated in story.
You do that all the time, too.
Ugh,
I mean,
so good.
Everybody who's listening right now, if you have not heard LeVar Burton Reads yet,
just get on it.
Just
download
it. Listen
to it,
because the mysteries of the universe will unfold
truly
in a story.
In his voice.
In the voice of LeVar Burton. It's just beautiful.
I love reading aloud. For me, reading aloud is my favorite way of storytelling. Having the opportunity to interact with a writer's text. And it's really, it's an interpretation reading aloud, right? It's a performance, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Absolutely.
For me, it really does give me an opportunity to interpret, right?
Yeah.
To put my spin on what I already consider to be a work of art.
Yeah. Ugh. And then you make it a new kind of work of art.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I get to participate in that artistic expression in my own way, and I make a contribution to it that lives only in the moment.
Mm, yes.
Well, we're going to take a moment for a quick break. And when we come back, LeVar talks reading and self-care. We're back with LeVar Burton again, host of the podcast LeVar Burton Reads.
We hear all the time from listeners of our show that they would like to just make time to read more, or they don't read as much as they want to. Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for them where they can make sure that their love of reading stays alive and that they're making sure to water that garden and, you know, and not feel the sadness of not reading enough?
I really consider that the time that we take in our lives is self-care. It gives us an opportunity to feed our imaginations, and there is nothing more important to humanity than the connection that we have to our imaginations. Everything that we've ever invented in the history of civilization began first as a thought.
Our imaginations might be able to save us.
Well, I genuinely, one of the reasons that I do the podcast is I'm trying to maintain my relationship with that generation of adults now who grew up on Reading Rainbow.
This leads really perfectly into my last somewhat jokey question, and I'm going to ask it. Because I was going to say, what is it like to just have like millennials be obsessed with you? My husband went to school with Donald Glover and just showed me the clip of Community where you're a guest star and Donald Glover's character's like can't speak the whole time.
Right.
Like, are you okay with the fact that we're all obsessed with you and we'll do everything you say?
Like,
like I have a plant, a house plant named Jordy. Like what? Like, do you? Like, I guess you know you have that responsibility and you're working with it.
Yeah, I mean, I would say for over a generation of people, you're the equivalent of their Mr. Rogers.
Like, full disclosure, you were my first crush.
Wow. Well, and here's how I'm trying to deal with it. Because in my podcast, I'm trying to get y'all to spend some time in your imaginations and encourage you to read for pleasure by sharing with you some of my favorite short stories and continue to expose you to new authors that you might not have heard of and otherwise. And the reason why I feel like this is so important for me, life-saving for me, is because of the tremendous sense of guilt that I feel that my generation is leaving your generation a shit show of problems to solve. And in order to solve those problems, you're going to need your imaginative powers and capability.
I'm gonna cry now. Come on. That's so perfect. And so true. And I think we forget it. I get really bleak and I'm like, I can't have kids. Everything's going to hell. But it's like, oh, right. Like, we can still try and think and imagine and like come up with stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
We can have hope and we can act on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I cannot imagine a better note to end on.
No.
We really can. We can have hope and we can act on it.
Yes. And listen to stories.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. LeVar Burton, thank you so much for making not just our day better, but our lives better.
Seriously.
Just like, we're not exaggerating when we say you make our lives better.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's it for this episode of By the Book. Huge thank you to LeVar, obviously, and to our fabulous production team at Stitcher, Nora Ritchie, who produces our show, Andy Kristen's daughter, who edits it. Thanks also to Nate Wida, who composed our theme song, and to the Rizzos, who perform it. Thanks to Chris Bannon, our chief content officer, and thank you, Daisy Rosario, our executive producer.
Please stay in touch. Let us know what you love most about LeVar Burton.
Mm.
The list is so long.
So much to love.
Where do you even start? And of course, check out LeVar's show, LeVar Burton Reads. And of course, send us any suggestions for future books for us to live by or questions you have for us. Our address is kristenandjolenta@gmail.com. You can also tweet us at JolentaG, at Kristen Meinzer, or at ByTheBookPod.
And please rate us and review us in Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you listen. It helps people find our show. And people like LeVar. Oh, no, wait. Tell everyone to listen to our show so they can hear LeVar. Ugh, just tell everyone you know to listen.
Until next time, I'm Kristen Meinzer.
And I'm Jolenta Greenberg.
Thank you so much for listening.
Bye-bye. Bye, LeVar.
Okay, was that the greatest thing ever?
I'm going to throw up. I didn't actually cry. I just got moved, okay? Nora, for real, crying.
Stitcher. Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.